thank you for sharing that. So many of the things that you just sing, we're just like, wow. It's like, we were just talking about that. We were just, praise the Lord. Amen. All right. We were talking before Bible study this morning, and Ralph and I figured it out. You know, everybody loves the donuts out there, right? Well, we figured it out. It's against me. You know, you get that sugar rush, and then 2 hours later, look where we're right now. So that sugar crash is hitting you guys. So it's the struggle to stay awake when you've had all those sugary donuts, and all of a sudden now comes time to preach. So man, the donuts are bad. No kidding. No, I'm kidding. Stay awake, people. Had a great day yesterday, not just because Georgia won, but got to enjoy going to the Gwinnett Metro Baptist Network meeting there at Church on Main. Heard some great encouraging word from a very powerful, encouraging pastor. So that was a great time to dig in, and got to rub some shoulders with some other pastors in the area here, and it was exciting to get to do that. So I'm a little pumped up this morning, so not just because of the Georgia game, but because God is good. So, but this morning we're going to look at a second parable in Matthew chapter 25. And last week's, you know, we kind of, it was directed towards those who are not believers, who are not ready, and who maybe have held off making that decision. And this week, the parable we're looking at is directed to you, church, for those who have a relationship with Christ. And I think there's a word for us this morning. So I pray that you will, if you need to go get another sugary donut and recharge that sugar, go ahead and sneak out or whatever you need to do. If you need to stand up, stretch, let's get into that this morning. I'm going to be in Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. And I may stop right here in this first verse. But again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Oh no, I do want to stop right there. This is not my sermon, but this is just off the cuff. It says that a man was going on a journey. He called his servants this morning. I got to share my vocational calling this morning in Bible study class and how I felt led to become a pastor with our class. And Bobby, just it's amazing how things just kind of work together, right? You know, Bobby talked about it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and we thank you, Pastor. But let me stop right there. And let me tell you, church, you are called too, okay? God called you. We're going to look at this passage this morning when this man called his servants. God has called every single one of you and myself included. This is not just, oh, well, yes, you're a pastor, John, you're this and that. No, God has a calling on every single one of your lives. And some of you know what that is. Some of you don't know it yet, okay? But that's okay. We're going to help you with that. We're going to get into that. But I heard this pastor, you know, by the way, there's nothing new, okay? Everything is stolen, right? You just hear it from me. Yesterday at the associational meeting, this pastor shared this great acronym. He said, you got to think about being ready. Are you ready? You know, and he says this, R, you are redeemed. God has called you. You're redeemed, okay? E, he says, you are empowered. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit, okay? A is you're anointed. God has something for you to do. He's put something on your life. And D, you're destined, okay? There's a purpose for your life. And then Y, you are called. So church, you know, this was not in my sermon this morning, but I want to start there. You know, we thank God for the calling that God has put on pastors and other people's lives, but church, don't discount yourself. God has put a specific calling on every single one of you. If you are a follower of Christ, whether it's to be something in ministry or not, God may have called you to be a teacher. God may have called you to deal with finances, but God has using you each individually, and he has a specific calling on your life. It may be to minister to somebody in your family or a coworker or a friend. There is a calling that God's put on every single one of your hearts. So it doesn't just stop with the pastor of the church. Okay, I hope you get that. And I see that right here in this scripture. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, and to another he gave 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you've entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." The man with 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." The man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathered where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside in the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This morning, this parable, very powerful, and I really think there's a message for you and I, church, to hear. First, let me just kind of give you a few things about this parable here, and I'll give you some explanation. A talent was a measurement of weight, okay? Don't think about like, oh, I can play soccer, or I can juggle. This is a biblical talent. It was a measure of weight. Oftentimes, it was probably a type of precious metal like gold, silver, copper, something like that. We don't know exactly what kind of, it doesn't say, it just said a talent. So it could have been gold, silver, copper, we don't know. But let me tell you, a talent equaled about 75 pounds. That's pretty big, okay? So you can imagine having 75 pounds of gold, 75 pounds of silver. I was curious this week, I looked up, you know, silver is about $22 an ounce. Gold is about $1,762 an ounce as of Thursday when I looked it up on the daily thing. So you're talking about not just small change here. It's a large sum of money here, okay? For just 1 talent here. So let's get into this. I want to show you 4 things this morning when it comes to you and I using our talents here. First, an outline there. First, I want you to see that there's a measuring of the gifts. Verse 14 says that the man called his servants. These are believers here. These are God-fearing people. That's who they equal in the parable here. And it says there in verse 14 that he entrusted his property to them. To these disciples here. Now think about it for just a minute. Did you notice that? Whose property was it? It was his, right? It was his property. Now think about that. When it comes to the things that God has given us, do we think, oh man, this is mine, this is my wallet, this is all the things in it? No, God gives us everything. We have to remember that. This, everything we have, you know, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Let's remember that first and foremost. hopefully that changes your perspective when it comes to using the gifts that God gives you. If you realize these are not really mine to begin with, how am I supposed to be responsible for them? I'm responsible to the Lord. So just keep that in mind as we kind of move along here. But verse 15, it says that he gives them these gifts, each according to his ability. What? Wait a minute. That's not fair, Jesus. Wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to all be the same? We live in a time, don't we, where everything is all about equity and fairness and all this and, wow. Wait a second. But according to the scripture here, Jesus says that he gave them these gifts, each according to his ability. He gave one 5, he gave one 2, and he gave one talent. Here's the thing. When it comes to fairness, God did allow fairly for each of these servants to do something with it. He said, okay, you've got 5, go do something with it. You've got 2, go do something with it. You've got 1 talent, go do something with it. That's the fairness that we need to see here. Jesus said that the poor you'll always have with you. Now we're thinking about money right here. This talent is a weight, a measurement of some kind of precious metal. But also when we look at our Christianity, and we can look at it more than just in a financial way. We can look at how God has gifted us and given us different talents, abilities, spiritual gifts, all these different things. We're going to look at it kind of in that aspect this morning here. But let me tell you, if you think, man, life's not fair, I'm quitting, I'm giving up, you'll never get anywhere, because life is not fair. It is not fair. Some people have more than others. Some people were started with that. Some people worked harder more than others, and it's all there. But life is not fair. But still, God gives us, according to the scripture here, these gifts according to our abilities. And we'll see how we can develop that here in just a minute, how we can make something of that in just a minute. But let's just be very careful. Let's not blame God for things that maybe that we should look at ourselves about. Well, God only gave me this one talent and this ability, and it's not very popular. I wish I could play the guitar. I wish I could do, whatever, And let's be very cautious about that. Now, keep in mind again what a talent is. It's a huge weight measurement of money. Whether you got 5, 2, or 1, still one talent is quite a bit of money. Quite a bit. And so I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you feel like, well, I'm a 5-talent person, I'm a 2-talent person, I'm a 0.5-talent person, whatever. That is still what God has given you. And he expects you to do something and to use that, which is our next point in the outline, is the use of these gifts here in the parable that Jesus told. Everyone who received the gifts was expected to do something with it. The first 2, it says they put their money to work. They put it to work. That's a key word there, work. And also notice there in verse 16, the urgency. It says that he went at once. There was no like, well, let me think about it. No. He immediately went to work with it. He didn't delay. Now the third servant was different. It says that he dug a hole in the ground and buried it there. This was a rather common way of hiding things back then. To us, that's strange. It makes me think about the old Wild West when they would bury the bank robbery treasure underneath a tree out in the whatever, But this is something common that they did in biblical times, because they didn't have a secure way of keeping things locked up. So they would go out all by themselves. Only that one person would know where where whatever value item was that would be there. So that was kind of the norm for them. So, are you and I the type of Christian that buries our talents? Do we think, man, I got to hold on to this. Oh, I don't know. I'm not ready to use this gift. I don't really know how to yet. So I'm just going to bury it. Do we keep telling the Lord, I don't know, God, maybe, you know, maybe when I get a little older, then I'll start doing that. Maybe when I finish school, then I'll get serious about my faith, students. Maybe there's some kind of excuse that we keep using in our lives to bury the talent that God gives us. And I hope that that's not the case, but I know that that was the case in my life, and sometime, and possibly it's probably the same in yours too. Well, a little bit, you know, let's look at it here a little bit in a different way. There's some key words in this parable that I think we need to take note of, okay? The first one I already mentioned was work, that it takes work to utilize the talents that God has given us. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But when God gifts you in different ways, church, when he gives you talents, abilities, aptitudes, personality, all that stuff, spiritual gifts, you know, it takes work to develop those things. It takes work to discover them and to put them into practice. And sometimes it's a learning curve. You learn, well, that didn't work. I'm not going to do that again. I'll try it this way next time. That's a key word there. But also, when it comes to this third servant, there's some more key words in here, and they are fear and laziness. You know, look, if you kind of go on there a little bit, when the master returns, the servant comes up to him, the third servant, and he says there, he says, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, and so I was afraid and went out and hid your talent for you. He was afraid. And then later, the master accuses this third servant. He says, you wicked, lazy servant. He says, you knew this about me? You knew this, that I was a hard man and harvested where I did not had sown? And he says, you should have put it on loan at the bank and then at least earned some interest on it. So he was lazy. He could have done that. So you've got fear and laziness. And I was thinking about that this week. I was like, wow, to me, those are two of the biggest issues that I think keeps you and I, the church, from using our gifts. Fear and laziness. Fear and laziness should never stop you and I from doing what we know God has called us to do. All right? And we need to remember that, okay? God has called us, and he wants us to do things. He wants us to follow him in obedience, to witness, to invite people to church. He wants us to dig into his word, all these things. And we should never be afraid of that. I know it's scary. It's a difficult thing to open up a conversation with somebody about a spiritual topic. But you have to remember that the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. He's going to empower you, like it says, Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will receive power. That's power. It's not just like, okay, you'll get an extra donut sugary boost. No, you'll have supernatural power from the Holy Spirit that will help you. And so we need to remember that. And then the whole laziness thing. Now, this is many, Pastor Ben, before he retired for years, he and many other pastors I talked to, this is the apathetic spirit that is in a lot of our churches is probably the most dangerous thing that we're having to deal with. Is, you know what, just let somebody else do it. I don't feel like it. I'm too busy. I've got so much going on in my life here. And there's this danger of being lazy with the gifts that God has given us. God has specifically gifted every single one of you. If you are a child of God and you have received the Holy Spirit in your life, he's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you a personality. God has given you different talents and abilities. Some of you can play musical instruments. Some of you can talk sports and do things and do stuff on computers and all this stuff. God has gifted every single one of us with these abilities, but are we allowing fear to keep us from using those things? Are we allowing, I mean, perfect example, Latoya came up here. Man, what courage she took to sing before you guys today. She used her talent, you know? Amen. And I just see how that works together now. I was like, Lord, what's going on here this morning? She asked, okay, amen, I'll just do what you ask, Lord. I'll follow. Perfect example right there. She was courageous. And I pray that you and I will be remember that too when it comes to our gifts. Oh yeah, good job, LaToya, but I don't know, I can't do that. No, don't ask me to do that. Don't let fear stop you and I from using those gifts. It's okay. Maybe some of you don't know what kind of gifts God has given you yet. Maybe you feel like, okay, well, I know what my spiritual gifts are a little bit, but I really don't know how to use them. I want to help you with that. One of my goals this next year is to develop a kind of a process, if you will, a class. This is something that came out of our church council meeting this past couple weeks back, is to develop a process that will help you, number one, discover your spiritual gifts and your abilities and your talents and what God may have a calling on your life, and then also to help you use those gifts. So hopefully sometime in the next 3, 4, 6 months, whatever it is, you know, there will be something that you can kind of use to develop your spiritual gifts, to discover them, and we'll get into that. I'm excited about that because that was one of the things that came out from our church council meeting, and I'm just, okay, this is something that we need, and we're all kind of in unity on that, so I'm looking forward to that. Thirdly, on your outline here, we see not only the measuring of the gifts, the using of the gifts, but we also see that there is an accountability for the gifts. This whole last month and month and a half, we've been talking about Jesus coming back, his return. And let's not forget that this parable is told with that in mind. It's right in here. Jesus saying, hey, there is going to be accountability, church. There is going to be accountability, believer, that I have given you these gifts, and I'm coming back, and I'm going to hold you accountable for what gifts I've given you and how you have used them or buried them. That is something we need to see here. Verse 19, it says that a long time to come, but then he came back to settle accounts with them. There in verse 19. Notice we're not being accountable to our families here. We're not being accountable to our church. We are accountable to God and God alone. We do have accountability as leaders and as a family of church, but ultimately our accountability to what we do with the things that God has given us, it goes to the Lord. And I hope that encourages you to say, you know what? I don't need to be like this third guy and just go off and bury it. I need to use what God has given me and to use it. The master returns. He finds the first two servants, and they come to him. They say, see, I've gained five more. See, I've gained two more. And so... The Lord says, well done. And we're going to see here in just a minute the rewards that are given. But the third one here is a little bit different. I want to share something with you. In Scripture, there are two judgments that are talked about in Scripture. Number one is the great white throne of judgment, which occurs, we see that in Revelation there at the end of the book of Revelation, that those people who do not know Christ, that rejected him, they will stand before God there at the great white throne of judgment. Okay, that's what it says there. You can read those. You want to snap that picture with your phone, you can do that. But then secondly, there's another judgment for you and I as believers. It is often called the judgment seat of Christ. And you can see the scriptures there where it's talked about that. In Greek, it's this word called the bema. B-E-M-A. The bema. What? Okay. It's a bema. But what it is, and what it was used most often in Greek literature was, you guys know about the Olympics, the Grecian games, right? When the winners of these Olympic and Grecian games would finish the race, and those that would win first prize or second, third, when they would stand, just like we see in the Olympics, what do they have? They have the different stairs, right? Well, the bema in Greek was that platform. That was their judgment. That was, hey, you have succeeded. You have won the race, so we're going to judge you as worthy and honored. And in Scripture, when it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, that you and I will have to stand before the Lord, and we will be judged for what we did with Christ. What did we do? Did we use these gifts? Now, in the language, and keeping in mind with this Olympic thing, it's going to be a good judgment, okay? Don't worry, church. Don't, oh my goodness, I did. If God forgives you of something, he forgives you. He forgets it, okay? It's not to be remembered anymore. The things that you and I do for Christ, those will be the things that we will go and stand before Christ, the good things. It's a good judgment, so don't be afraid. Church, the blood is covered in your body. You're forgiven. One day you and I will stand before Christ as believers, the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be honored for the things that we did, the gifts that we used for God's kingdom. And some may have more than others. Some have been using their gifts all their lives. Some are just figuring out. But those are two things that I just want to kind of put in your mind there for you to think about. That one day that we'll be held accountable. Are we using the gifts that God has given us? And we will be honored and put there before Christ to say, hey, this is what you gave me, God, and this is what I tried to do with it. Finally, we see here that not only were the gifts measured out, they were used, and we were held accountable, but fourthly, we see the reward for the gifts here. There's two things here that the master says to the servants that I want to point out to you. Number one there, he says to each of the ones that had five and two talents, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. That's a great phrase, right? How many times have we heard that, maybe at funerals, when pastors preach the funeral of a very faithful church member, and we talk about it, and you think back, I can't tell you how many times I've sat in a funeral and the pastor shared that, and I'm like, yes, that person was faithful, they did well, you know, God bless them. But just imagine, that's somebody in a human being that's saying that about somebody else. But just imagine one day that you and I will stand before God, and if we are faithful, if we have used the gifts that God has said, God himself will tell us, well done. Not another person, but the Lord himself. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's just so powerful just to think about. Secondly, we see here he not only says, well done, good and faithful servant, but secondly, he says, I will put you in charge of many things. There's the reward here for their faithfulness, for their use of the gift, is more responsibility. It's being given more. So when you and I come to a place where we say, you know what, I'm going to use whatever God's given me, whether I'm a five-talent Christian or a two-talent Christian or whatever, if I'm just faithful to use what God has given me, he will give us more. And this goes back again to the whole fairness thing. God gives each and every one of us an opportunity to grow and to use the talents that God has given us. Whether you feel like you're a five, a two, or a one, he will give us that responsibility. You know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, but I believe what we did as a church when we fed the community this past summer, I believe that was a direct result of how that God is going to bless us with this food from South Gwinnett High School's food fight. You know, I feel like we were faithful. We did what God calls us to do there, and he's giving us an opportunity to have more food this fall right here at Thanksgiving and the holidays that we can use to bless other people with. I think this is a perfect example right there. And again, it's not always about food, but God may bless us in different areas. He may give us things in different areas, and what are we going to do with them? Lastly here, you see this third servant here. And here's the thing. Here's the irony in the whole story here. The third servant, he comes up to the master here when the master returns. He says, I knew that you were a hard man. And the irony is that he really didn't know the master very well at all. He thought he did, but if you look at the parable here, the evidence in the language here, it looks like this so-called servant, he doesn't get to heaven. Because what is it? It says that he says, throw him out in the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Right? That doesn't sound like a nice, pleasant place. That doesn't sound like, okay, you're a Christian, just come on in. You said you knew me, come on in. And here's the thing, church. Are you and I like that? Are we fooling ourselves like, I know God, I know him, but we're never obedient, we never follow him? And I think that's the missing part of this parable, is that this servant, you know, he says, oh, I knew you. But the master replies to him there at the end, he says, I never knew you. That's a key word. And I don't know where you're at, congregation Westside, this morning. Maybe you feel like, oh yeah, I've gone to church all my life. I know who Jesus was. I know about Elijah and all these disciples, and I know them. But I just want to ask you this morning, church, do you really know him? There's a difference in belief that and belief in, right? That's a big difference. That's like the Niagara Falls thing where the guy ran the tightrope across there, and he would take things and walk across, and one day he got the wheelbarrow, right? And this is a true story. And he said, do you believe that I can carry this across? And, oh, yeah, we believe that. And he says, well, do you believe that I could carry you across in the wheelbarrow? And people are like, maybe not. You know, they didn't want to trust him with their life to get in the wheelbarrow and have this guy go across Niagara Falls 80 years ago. It's the same thing for you and I, church. We may know that, oh yeah, I know God, I talk about God, Jesus the Son, but do we really truly know Jesus? Do we have a personal relationship? Do we believe in him this morning? So some questions for you there. Do you really know the Lord, church? Do you know the Lord this morning? And then secondly, are you using the gifts that God has given you? Maybe you've been burying them. Maybe you've been afraid. Maybe you've been lazy. And you're like, you know, I'll get serious about the gifts that God's given me next year after COVID is over. Yeah, then we'll get serious. Then we can really do some things. But God wants to use you and the gifts that he's given you now, church. And I want to encourage you that. We'll close a little bit differently. I want to play a video for you. It's a lyric video. And I want this to be the invitation for the service today. Let's see if the cord is long enough. Not quite. What did they say about poor planning? Okay. Let's see. Oh, Miss Anna, it's under your chair. Could you scoot down a little bit? Yeah. There we go. Yeah, that's fine. Let's see. I practice this, and then I get in here and I forget what I practice. Huh? It's not on YouTube. There it is. All right. We're almost there.
And now, singing hope.
this morning, you can watch this video. If you want to come down and pray, say, God, help me use my gifts. Or if you feel like you've never known Christ, I want to invite you to come this morning and to know Him personally.
When you call my name,
that just play out, but as we close today, you know, I don't know where you're at, church. Are you ready to say, God, here I am, here's everything you've given me, you've gifted me with, I want to be used this morning? You know, maybe you're okay, where can I be used? Let me just challenge you. There's the fall festival coming up. You know, well, I don't know about that. God can use you in something as simple as the fall festival. If you're ready and willing to say, God, I want to be used in just a simple way, you know, and again, it starts with the small talents and it grows. And I just pray that you will, that was last time. I just pray that whatever God is putting on each and every one of your hearts, that you will say, yes, God, I want to be used. Just use me, though. So let's pray, and then we'll close out, and we will take up the offering here. Lord, we just come before your throne. We just thank you for all you're doing for us. I just pray, Lord, that as we kind of transition from this time of a message to giving our gifts, Lord, that you will use our gifts, God. You will remember that you love to use people, that we will remember that you want to use the financial resources that you have given us with, Lord, to advance the kingdom, to benefit the church, to bring the message to our community. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in the life of our church through giving. I pray that you will help us to just be faithfully and to give. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just a few announcements there. Sorry. Tonight we're doing Genesis. We'll be in Genesis 45. You see all the other activities during the week there, so in the bulletin. So just make sure you're aware of that. And the schedule for the next couple of Sundays will be a little different. God bless you guys. We love you and pray that you have a great afternoon in the Lord. And we'll see you either tonight or sometime.